Hi, I'm Roseanne Cash. To millions of people, Johnny Cash was a music legend. To me, he was just Dad. When he died, a lot of people thought a lifetime of hard living finally caught up with him. And it's true, Dad had his demons, but he also had diabetes. For years, he ignored it, even as his health and vision slipped away. Until one day, as he sat in his office, surrounded by books he could no longer read, he said to me, "This is a room full of regrets now." Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, and worst of all, take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. For a free new guide on managing your blood sugar daily, visit healthywithdiabetes.org. A message from the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of Muse Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Head on the Bumpkin Kick. Head on is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you now. Bumpkin Kick.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on a beautiful Wednesday evening here in Uptown Beckley. Is it safe yet? Can we come out? Is the big, bad, really spooky terror alert over? I was so afraid. I was terrified. My own personal terror alert warning went up to the terracotta red. You were paying attention today, weren't you? Sure you were, because, well, you know, us liberals, we're the smart ones. And so, as a consequence, you were well aware that, you remember former Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge? Sure you do. Well, he came out yesterday. No, not like that. That's the mayor of Spokane. Tom Ridge came out of his secure, undisclosed location where they've stuffed him since he resigned from Homeland Security on February 1st. But yesterday he said he often disagreed with administration officials who wanted to elevate the threat level to orange or high risk of terrorist attack, but was overruled in the days and months and weeks before the November 2nd general election, when it was absolutely critical to Team Bushko to have a terrified electorate. He went so far as to say the Bush administration periodically put the USA on high alert for terrorist attacks, even though he himself, Ridge, had argued there was only, listen to the word, flimsy evidence to justify raising the threat level. He made these comments at a Washington forum and said there was spirited debates over terrorist intelligence. But more than anything, he said he wanted to debunk the myth. Myth? He wanted to debunk the myth that his agency was responsible for repeatedly raising the alert under a color-coded system that he unveiled in 2002. Here's what he told reporters. This is a quote. "More often than not, we were the least inclined to raise it. Sometimes we disagreed with the intelligence assessment. Sometimes we thought even if the intelligence was good, you don't necessarily put the country on alert. There were times when some people were really aggressive about raising it, and we said, for that?" Now, who were the somebodies? We don't get to find that out in this USA Today article, but it doesn't exist. You don't need an abacus to know. The somebody is Karl Rove. He terrified American? 9-11. 9-11, Your Holiness. 9-11. You scared? I'm scared. Good. Glad you're scared? Stay scared. Got you, Dad. Got you covered, Mom. Got you duct tape, son? So what did we get today?
Now, you're the... Look, we're...
You figure it out. Yesterday, Tom Ridge came out and said, in essence, from his, from the tone and tenor and content of his words, he said, look, I was made to play the fool for 2.5 long years under this bloodthirsty monkey in the White House. Not gonna do it anymore. I tried to keep him from using the terror alert system just to scare people for political gain. But I got overruled by Karl Rove and Andy Card and Karen Hughes. Most of the time, we didn't want to raise the terror alert level to fuchsia or orange or sky blue pink or polka dots. We didn't want to do it. But they made me. They made me do it. So all that goes down yesterday. What do we get today? We get Richard Shelby speaking on the in the well of the United States Senate, and they said, "Gow! There's an aircraft that's breached security space. Blah, 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 blah. Be afraid. You all afraid?" And the Senate has won. Timidly said, "Yes, we're afraid. Run. Run for your lives." And they did the same thing in the House. Oh, President Pretzel was out riding, trying to ride his bicycle. Did they have the training wheels on today? And Darth Cheney was where? In an undisclosed location. That means he was in his coffin in the crypt way under the ground where the sun can't reach it. And Washington, D.C. went into terror panic mode. Over? Well, you've been probably seeing the news by now. Over? That's right. A student pilot and his instructor in a little single-engine Cessna. Anybody here remember Matthias Rust? I remember Matthias Rust. The, 16, 18-year-old young German man who got in a single-engine aircraft and landed it in Red Square in Moscow, causing countless members of the Soviet Rocket Command to be sent to Siberia, probably. And it was an international incident. I guess we've got to... Look, it's what we've become. When Matthias Rust landed his little single-engine aircraft in Red Square, he embarrassed one of the two most powerful countries on Earth, being the Soviet Union. And it was an international incident and an international scandal, and more than anything, it pointed to the absolutely terrified quality of life in the Soviet Union. Little single-engine aircraft piloted by a student pilot, and you would have thought it was the entire Luftwaffe coming down on Moscow. Guess what? Washington's the new Moscow. We scrambled fighter jets, and they shot warning flares at a little Cessna because it crossed into Washington airspace on a trip, the last I read, to North Carolina. I guess the two occupants of the aircraft should consider themselves lucky to be alive. Are they on their way to Guantanamo yet? I saw the hovering. They went on. They landed in Maryland. No big deal. Ask yourself a question. We managed to scramble fighter jets for a Cessna aircraft that, even had it been loaded with C-4. Couldn't have done much. On the other hand, there were 4 hijacked commercial airliners on September the 11th, 2001. And is it just me, or was there like a 45-minute window of knowledge that these things, something had gone terribly wrong, they'd been hijacked, transponders had turned off, and we still couldn't scramble, and we couldn't find it? Air Force was on holiday? What? We couldn't get a plane in the air until after, what, 30 minutes after the airliners had hit the Twin Towers? Now, is that a head-scratcher for you? That's a head-scratcher for me. But we can, and you know, this is the best part about doing this show, was I don't know if it was last night or the night before, some caller to this program, it wasn't me, some caller to this program said, hey, look, Georgia's poll numbers are in the toilet. I'd say we're due for a terror alert, wouldn't you? And I said, yeah. Looky what happened today. I don't know. I may get back under the table. I'm still pretty scared. I'm still pretty terrified. It's patriotic to be terrified, you see. Patriotic. It's patriotic to be scared. Are you afraid? Be very afraid. 9/11. Give me a 9/11, Jesse. 9/11. Okay, good. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We got CEOs making 600 times the world's pay. Now we fight like hell if you stay from the Senate's way. Get on my vector, now ship your job. The third world country brought the city to my life. Let the end wait for my hands.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939. Call now. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939.
Hey, look. It's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oakville, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Or 8? Boy, I'm hustling. No, it's 20 minutes after 7. You know, it's getting pretty bad when you can't read a digital clock in front of you. Time for the new glasses, Grandpa Bob! Oh, brother. this is the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. You know, pretty much anything you want to bring to the table is fine. I had a couple of things that I wanted to babble about this evening until I watched the whole, the thing about Ridge coming out and talking about, you know, hey, it wasn't my fault we tried to scare the life out of you before the election, and then after he said, and you know how Karl Rove operates, oh God, you know. Sir, did you hear what, Karl Rove is Smithers. from the Senate. Sir, did you hear what Tom Ridge said? He was disloyal yesterday, sir. Dear leader, we need a terror alert. Can I scare up a terror alert? Oh. You know, welcome to 1984. Don't blame George Orwell for being bad at math. So am I. He was only off by 20 years. And, you know, maybe 1980, maybe it was his publisher. Maybe it started out 2004, but they said, nah, George, I think 1984 is going to, okay, well, whatever, sell a book. So we get 1984 instead of 2004. But you are living in, these are Orwellian times. And you know they are. The phone number, of course, and I concur with Dr. Bill. I heard him earlier today. I get the same complaints. I don't give the phone number enough. I'll work on it. Here it is, 252-6200, round hereabouts, hereabouts being the general Beckley, southern West Virginia, kind of Raleigh County kind of thing. And outside that, if you're listening on the stream at WWNRNewsTalk620.com, or if you listen via the archives and you get a yen to call in sometime, the archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. The toll-free number is 800-620-620, just like what we are on the AM dial, 620-WWNR. 9967, 620-9967 with the 1-800 in front of it. Okay, we all square on that? You can send emails to bob@headonradio.com through the station website at wwnrnewstalk620.com. Sold, American! I feel like an auctioneer reading when I with that web address. You can go through the portal there to my website, headonradio.com. You can partake of the message boards. They're free. Get in, join the fracas. It is truly fun to see some of our resident wingnuts put on the run. And you can also, of course, send email, bob@headonradio.com. Take advantage of it. Enjoy it. I know you will, because it's just a load of fun. To the phones, Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Oh, I'm dandy.
Good. It's been quite a day today.
Has it really?
I'm serious. Yes, it has.
Well, I'm just scared to death. I don't know but what some student pilot might fly a Cessna right here into the Radio City studios.
I'm telling you. You know, when that happened, I was talking with someone on the Hill today, and he said, I've got to load. I said, where are you going to go? He said, I don't know. We're going to have to go outside. And I said, they don't have a shelter or anything for you? He said, no. And I said, I bet W and Cheney are about 6 miles underground by now, over at Mount Weather.
Yeah, or having some Greenbrier food for all we know.
Who knows? You know, it's just incredible. I mean, when you think of, and I mentioned this earlier today, of what happened in cities like London, Leningrad, during World War II, places like that. And, you know, we've certainly come an awful long way when it takes a little twin engine Cessna.
Single engine.
Single engine Cessna, probably with a student pilot who got mixed up and, you know, happened to fly in the wrong direction over the district, and the entire government shuts down. I mean, that's something. I mean, really, they have really honed this blade of fear into a fine edge.
Oh, it's a scalpel at this point, Jim.
I mean, it's just incredible. I don't know.
You gotta wonder how the career civil servants in D.C. feel about this foolishness.
Well, I used to be one.
I know.
And that's what I was thinking. I said, good Lord in heaven, I can remember when it used to be a reasonably normal town in which to live. But God, since Bush came there in 2000, and some of this other stuff has happened since he's been there, it's just become paranoid city.
Everything he touches dies. It's like some sort of sick reverse Midas touch. Everything he touches goes to caca, and we know that. You know, whether it's Arbusto, Spectrum 7,
oh, yeah.
Harkin Energy, the Texas Rangers.
It's a kiss of death.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Harry Truman, as far as D.C. is concerned, he had it right. He said, if you want a friend in Washington, you better bring a dog.
Yeah.
You know, I heard something this afternoon, and I don't want to wax too eloquent or too long on this.
You just waxed away.
Some caller called up about this bar called the Hayes.
Oh yeah, that's moving in what, on Heber Street?
I don't know where they're moving. They used to be near the Kroger on Harper Road.
Okay.
And you know, it's an alternative bar, and I guess it's a gay bar. And I heard they have drag shows and stuff like that.
And who cares?
And you know, it's a place for the emotionally volatile and the sexually liberated. And I haven't been in there, but if I had, I'd sure tell you.
Sure.
I know two straight married women who go there when they want to have a girl find out, and they go there to watch the drag show and get makeup tips.
Oh, God.
That's what they told me.
Oh,
they said,
man.
My God, those guys know more about that stuff than we do.
Well, I'm guessing there's probably some dance music there, too, right?
Yeah, and they have some dancing. I don't know if it's disco, do-si-do, alternative techno, whatever. But, I mean, it's a place for people to go, and these people... And I have seen...
So what? Someone called in...
complaining about it, and it was on the news today about Heber Street and this, that, and the other.
Oh, let me guess. We got a Bible reader?
I don't know, sir. It was an elderly gentleman. I could call his name, but I'm not.
Yea, verily a man shall not put on the raiment of a woman. Yeah.
Oh, that's such an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah,
but anyway,
the thing that always gets me about that Bible verse, though, Jim, in that era, in that time period, everybody wore dresses. How the hell would you know?
I know. But, I mean, these people going into this bar, I mean, I have seen them in the grocery store before, on Friday, Saturday, after, 8 o'clock, something like that. I mean, they were looking like they were going to have a good time. But, they weren't bothering anybody.
Well,
and if
no.
you were to go into that bar, the only thing you'd have to worry about, or if I were to go in that bar, I'll just put it on me, okay?
Okay.
The only thing I'd be worried about would be, number one, behaving myself in a manner so I wouldn't get into trouble, paying the people the money that they asked for, and then, of course, that my blood alcohol content when I left the premises. And that should
right.
be all I have to worry about, not some nosy person who has no business trying to put his nose in somebody else's business.
Ain't that just the truth?
I mean, I don't know. And I've said this before to you, sir. I have a 24-hour day job, and it is minding my business.
Yep.
And I don't have time to mind anybody else's. I really don't. I've got enough stuff going on in my little neck of the woods here where I am, but I don't need to be bothering other people. And the only expostulating really I do is over the airwaves with your show and Dr. Bill.
Yeah, but you got to understand, Jim, you got to understand the threat that this bar poses. It's a threat to family values. And it may, in fact, cause Heber Street itself to just collapse and open wide, and God will just swallow up all of Beckley because of them folks what's, lighting their loafers.
Now, I think this place is closed. So then they have a place down there on Fayette Street called the Tink House.
I don't know, honestly.
Well, that place does not exactly look like the Ritz-Carlton. and I understand a lot of drugs and a lot of, illicit activities centered around that place. And it may have been closed down by the police. I don't know. But, from what glimpses I have of a local police blotter, I don't take a paper around here. I'm just not interested, basically, I guess. But from what glimpses that I've seen, these policemen around here have enough on them, enough responsibility in keeping the police safe, than to not have to worry about the habitués of an alternative or a gay bar, if you must use the term.
Well, the fact that, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of crime out of gay people. I'd rather the tax dollars went to support, busting meth labs.
They're looking for a good time, not trouble.
Sure.
Trouble has a way, unfortunately, of finding them a lot more easily than a good time, unfortunately.
Well, because 9 times out of 10, trouble is clothed in the raiment of the righteous, who need to go and hammer on somebody different than them in order to feel something approaching human themselves.
Or people like the ones who killed that boy out in Colorado.
Wyoming, yeah, Matthew Shepard.
Matthew Shepard, and probably people who are, as far as I'm concerned, closet queens themselves.
Yeah, the J. Edgar Hoover type.
Exactly.
Sure.
And for some reason, they feel like in order to expiate their own sense of guilt, they've got to take out their frustrations on somebody else who is at least honest enough.
Look at this Jim West out in Spokane, the mayor of Spokane, cruising gay.com. Here's a guy, 54, 55 years old, cruising gay.com. And this is a virulent anti-gay Republican, mind you. One of those real self-loathers, cruisinggay.com for barely legal 18-year-old boys that he can groom to be his little boy toys. But they're the family values bunch. Hey, Jim, we're up against our break. Got to roll, man. Always good talking to you, though. Take care. More of your phone calls when we come back. Again, the phone call, the phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. We got a little news break coming. We'll be back with your calls. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is CarlMack WWNR News. The town of Oak Hill plans to turn the former Pure Oil service station, where a chauffeur discovered the death of country music Hank Williams Sr., into a museum. Oak Hill Mayor Barbara Hickman says the lease will be held by the town until it can be turned over to a new foundation. She's encouraging donations of memorabilia in hopes that state funds will be allotted to preserve the Pure Oil station. The top brass at the West Virginia Republican Party have accepted the resignation of embattled Chairman Chris Warner. Warner told the party's executive committee members in a letter Monday he wanted to step down. The resignation ends several months of turmoil within the state GOP, which boiled to the surface after the election in November. State police think a drug deal gone bad led to a fatal shooting last night in Eccles. Trooper J.L. Howell says they were called to a residence on Jenny Lynn Street around 5:30 yesterday afternoon. They found a man in his early 20s from Columbus, Ohio, had been shot to death, and another Columbus native, Mel Heller, shot in the shoulder. Heller was taken to Raleigh General for treatment. The body of the other man, whose name was not released, has been sent to the state medical lab in South Charleston. And a Beckley man is recovering after being shot during an attempted robbery in Charleston. Kenneth Howell had just emptied the lottery machines of the Sports Central Bar and Grill on Central Avenue when police say Ronald Ray Jones of Cincinnati shot him as he was putting money in the truck and getting ready to leave. Witnesses say after Howell was shot, he managed to grab Jones, wrestle him to the ground, and knock the gun away. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening, partly cloudy and warm. Temperatures now around 70. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 57. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, most of these in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high again near 80. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 60. And then for Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 76. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to Wheeling Workers Independent News. I'm Kevin Cunningham.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Jameson.
United Airlines and unions representing tens of thousands of its workers have begun bankruptcy hearings that could wipe out not only the workers' pensions, but their entire union contracts. Richard Turk with the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association says United workers are fed up and a strike is a very good possibility. United says it needs to end pensions to emerge from bankruptcy. Several more days of hearings will determine whether United can throw out its union contracts. Turk says the stakes are momentous.
It's not just the pension issue, it's the entire package. It's the fact that they abrogate our contract, that they impose terms on us that we did not agree to, that the membership did not ratify. That's where we feel we have the right to strike.
Turk says the unions have offered alternatives, but United isn't interested. The United hearings are expected to last through May 19th.
Unions representing high-tech workers, engineers, and inventors have united to oppose the Central American Free Trade Agreement. In a report released yesterday, the union said CAFTA would not increase U.S. high-tech exports and jobs, as lobbyists such as Microsoft claim. CAFTA has been described as the brother of NAFTA, who seeks to expand free trade to Central American countries. Critics say NAFTA has contributed to massive outsourcing of U.S. jobs, including the high-tech industry, decreased wages, and led to piracy of intellectual property. The report says CAFTA would expand that trend and give nothing to the U.S. in return. The report was released by the Washington Alliance of Technology Workers, Society of Professional Engineers, Engineering Employees in Aerospace and the American Ingenuity Alliance.
Workers came to Capitol Hill Tuesday to tell members of Congress not to support CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, because it will hurt working families and their communities much like NAFTA has. Sean Jones is a steelworkers union member from Texas who works at Bridgestone Firestone. He came to tell the story of his friend John, who was laid off and his company moved to Mexico. John died of a heart attack at 32 while struggling to make ends meet, leaving a widow and son with no benefits. Sean Jr. Mokwell donated several hundred dollars to John's family.
I came all the way from Texas to tell the story and ask Congress to please vote against CAFTA. I work for a Firestone plant that's down the road from a shipping plant, and I worry every day if they're going to pull up the stakes and move to Mexico. CAFTA is just like NAFTA. It's hurt my community and it's hurt my friends.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. U.S. workers, according to the International Labor Organization, work longer hours than any other people in the world. The National Sleep Foundation says 38% of all full-time workers work more than 50 hours a week. Not only do American workers work longer hours, but they also get far fewer vacation days, 2 to 3 weeks versus 5 to 8 weeks a year for Swedish workers, and an average of 6 weeks for British, German, and French workers.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Yes, I am. Well, let's see. Straight to the phone. Stuart is with us. Hey, Stuart, you're head on. Thanks for calling.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing great. Yourself?
Getting along, I reckon.
You're terrified, I know.
I'm scared to death.
Mine's a little bit...
Hang on. There we go.
There we are. A little off the topic there. I'd worked in an industry that recently got to talk to a native West Virginian who had to move out of the area for work, like majority of people from the 70s and 80s had to do. And he is coming back home not because of his choice of retirement, but early retirement.
Really?
He worked at the West Vaco plant down in Covington. And, of course, was a big powerhouse for that whole area. And, of course, they produced this bleached white cardboard or paper that they said sold in America for $360 a ton. And China has now come up with it for $90 a ton. So now they're packing shop and they're moving over towards China. And I just can't understand that, you know, I hear United Airlines is wanting to back out their pensions.
Oh, they got to. It's done.
And I just can't understand what these people's doing to these retirees. And, you know, Ford General Motors, a lot of retirees from this area is from the Ford and General Motors area as well, you know.
Sure.
I can't understand how they can do this to people with their loyal years of service and the thing that provides their lifestyle and pull it out from under them.
Well, Stuart, the first thing you have to do, I think, is take a hard look at the way we view people. Now, I don't want to get all squishy or anything, but when you look at the bankruptcy laws, the first thing that comes to mind is that the fundamental analysis in the bankruptcy laws, and I think this is something that's kind of sick when you get right down to it, is that bankruptcy law is very cold and it analyzes things in terms of assets and liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're United Airlines, your jumbo jets, they're your assets.
Right.
People in bankruptcy
are
liabilities.
Yep.
And we've got a Congress, Stuart, mm-hmm. that says, well, you know, we've got a real problem with those deadbeat credit card middle class consumers out there running up grocery bills because the wage earner had triple bypass surgery and they got medical bills. Those are bad people. That's what the Congress just told us. But you'll notice in all of that bankruptcy legislation, they didn't say a word about Verizon Energy down here in Cannleton. That did people out of their pensions in a bankruptcy. Not a word about United Airlines. Not a word about the Polaroid. Not a word about Weirton Steel. None of that. None of that.
Right.
And so it kind of tells you where our government is and who the Republican Congress cares about.
And, you know, it's just what chaps me is that, you know, these same things happened 20, 30 years ago with Celanese down there towards Narrows. They had... the employees had to train, I think it was Germans, I believe, on how to do this so the company could open up two more plants in Germany, and then what did that do? Starts laying off. And You know, I just think there needs to be some type of punishment. If you leave your business out of this country, expect your import business to go. You're going to be tariffed to death over this if you think about you're going to take our jobs and send the product back to us to buy.
Well, you know, we had a chance in November.
Yep.
John Kerry talked about closing that loophole, and then out of the May 8th New York Times, I just touched on it a little bit last night, there's a new tax break for drug manufacturers.
Yeah.
And America's biggest drug manufacturers are going to be able to return as much as $75 billion in profits from international tax shelters to the United States and only pay a 5.25% tax rate instead of the 35% that they're supposed to pay.
Right.
You know, this is a government, a Republican Congress and a Republican presidency that has gone absolutely hog wild.
Yeah. You know, and I work for a major corporation, and, you know, I feel very comfortable because it's a big-name outfit, but it seems like now there's no security in anything, and, you know, I don't want to get to a point that, you know, you become unhireable at a certain age. Of course, I'm early 30s, and, you know, I've seen my father, same thing happen with him in the coal industry. You know, large coal industry goes out, and, you know, you get to a point and you say, okay, career change or try to just skate by. And, I just can't, I don't know where the security of it at. I really don't know. It's really scary each day when you go to work. What are you going to be the next number?
And the thing is, there is not a single, the Verizon case.
Yeah.
That was a union contract.
Right.
And when you can weasel out of a union contract, which is as close to holy writ as we used to come in this country, you're absolutely right. Nobody's safe.
No.
Nobody's secure, and on the other end, we find out that we're going to cut food stamps out from under people who sign Social Security recipients who sign up for the Medicare prescription drug card,
right?
Or the drug program. My God,
right? It's just a fleecing. I mean, it's just a fleecing of America, and same way with you know, medical costs for these seniors. And it's like, say, do I take my pills? Do I pay my heat? Or do I eat? You know, and it's just. It's just an unfair environment that we're in right now. Just can't wait till this term is over,
and
we can definitely get some new fresh blood in there and hopefully make this thing a turnaround.
Well, remember, please bear in mind, Stuart, it doesn't start with 08.
Yeah, right.
It starts in 06.
Yeah.
And we've got I don't necessarily know where what district you're in, but we got to keep what we've got. As far as the Democratic representation is concerned, but that awful woman. In what, the 2nd Congressional District of West Virginia has got to go. I mean, she's still sitting down there saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to vote for the president's Social Security plan or not. You know, in other words, being a weasel.
Yeah.
You know, being Archmore's daughter. That is the state race in 06.
Right.
And
well, I thought the state race we had was 04, not even talking about the gubernatorial. There were some other issues there, I think, one with McGraw and Benjamin. I think that was a big hinging on this state.
Yep.
I think that was the biggest decision that we're going to have for future years to come, and I think that's just the first start. And
12 years we're going to pay for that, Stuart.
Yep.
12 years. Thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Hopefully we'll hear from you again.
Absolutely. First time caller.
Yep. Boo-boo. If I had something I could give away, I'd give it away, but you have my thanks. Take care. And keeping it rolling, Peter's calling from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, you head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. It's nice to get a chance to talk to you. I often listen to your program on WhiteRoseSociety.org. I'm down in Tallahassee, and tonight I'm able to listen to you live. I'm streaming it live, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you about something that's bugged me for a long time. It's you know, we live in a time where you can, in any given sentence, you can substitute the word Republican or right or conservative or Christian without changing the meaning of the sentence.
I think you're right. I would take issue with you, Peter, only on the word Christian, because I absolutely refuse to acknowledge that these right-wing religion industry people are anything approaching, living anything approaching the message and life of Jesus Christ.
Bob, I completely agree with you. And, you know, a person's good name is a valuable thing, and I think that the so-called Christians have sold Christ's good name and given it to the Republican Party. The word Christian is no longer of any meaning anymore, except controversy, which is not what Christ was unified people,
yeah, right?
United people, and I'm going to stop using. I go to church, and I'm active in a church.
Yeah, and I'm not happy.
And I've got to tell you that I'm not going to use the word Christian anymore. You know, back in biblical times, his followers referred to themselves as brethren or followers, but they didn't refer to themselves as Christian. In fact, the word Christian was originally used, I think, by the Romans. It was a put-down term.
It was indeed. The earliest followers of, and I like to call him Yeshua because that was his name. His earliest followers merely said that they followed the way.
The way. Absolutely. And, I will say that I love Jesus, but I am no Christian.
Not if the Falwells and the Robertsons are Christians. No, sir, you're absolutely right. But what I would say, the other side of that coin is, we have done a very good job, Peter, of surrendering the field to these monsters. You know, you said we can use the word Republican, conservative, blah, blah. You know,
yes,
you can use the word monster too.
Well,
and
it
interchanges as well. And we have ceded the field. We have ceded Christianity to these people when it's not what we're called to do. We have let there are, and it's not just Christianity. It's so many other issues where we have let them define the terms of the debate. Look at Social Security. We're letting the other side frame the debate as to whether or not we should just let the program die or auction it off to the Wall Street brokers, when in fact I think principled progressives should be demanding that we frame the debate in terms of why do people, you know, for instance, why is a little old lady living alone only drawing $798 a month? Why isn't she drawing $1,500?
Precisely.
So, you know, we've got to take the debate away from them. Because as long as we're fighting on their ground, you know, I've read, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Sun Tzu's The Art of War?
No, sir, I've not read it.
Well, you know, very sagacious advice for not just warfare, but interpersonal relations, or good advice. And Sun Tzu says, the minute that you let the other side pick the ground that you're going to fight on, you're done. And American history, you know, General Longstreet remonstrated with General Lee over letting the Union occupy the ridges around Gettysburg, and Lee said, no, we're going to have the fight here. And that guaranteed defeat. Anytime you let the other side tell you where you're going to fight and how you're going to fight the fight, you're dealing with uphill odds from the get-go.
Yes. Yes. So, well, Bob, I really do appreciate you. You're one of the people, along with the Air America people and Tom Hartman, the people that are truly getting out words that need to be heard by this country, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you as well, Peter, and I hope we'll hear from you again.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Good night.
Good night. Seriously, you got to look at the language. You've got to pay attention to the language. Because but 9 times out of 10, by the time it's come out of the right-wing megaphone, it has been, you know, I hear these people who say, you know, I like George W. Bush because he don't rely on polls. Bug spray, he doesn't rely on polls. This is the single most polling administration that has ever occupied 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Okay? They don't take a breath without focus grouping at first. Yeah, you do radio and try to say focus group 2 or 3 times and see if you're not living on the razor's edge. But seriously, every time that they bring out an idea, it's been focus grouped. It's been polled. It's been checked out. Think back to the beginning of this filthy little war. What was the first name they had for it? There is video footage out there, if you can find it, and it hasn't already gone down the memory hole, of what was the name? The Ari Fleischer. I always have to think of margarine, Fleischmann's margarine. Ari Fleischer standing up and saying that we are proud of our progress in Operation Iraqi Liberation. Now that was one of their little failures,
because they hadn't quite noted yet that Operation Iraqi Liberation spelled O-I-L. But somebody caught it on the Johnny on the spot, and the next thing you knew, it was Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yes, sir. And when we started talking about private Social Security accounts, well, they jumped right out and focus grouped that and found out that privatization wasn't playing so good in a nation where private enterprise was screwing workers for everything that they were worth. So suddenly they became personal accounts. They're personal. They're not private. They're personal. They're personal accounts, not private. So this is a very, these are very duplicitous people, and they are professionals, and if they can take any given issue and make us debate it on their terms, we have lost. That's all there is to it. We've lost. You know, and it goes so far as Trent Lott invented the term the nuclear option. I believe we may have to resort to the nuclear option and take away the filibuster from these godless heathen Democrats. And then a couple of months later, they're on Punkinhead Russert show. Oh, we never called it the nuclear option. That is something the Democrats have talked about, and they're trying to make us look bad that way. And if you're part of our side of the fight and you live in reality and you're not drinking the whatever's in the Kool-Aid that they're passing around, it makes you want to pluck your eyeballs out, dip your head in a bucket of lye and run screaming off a cliff. It does. Because they'll just lie. They will simply lie and expect you to swallow it because you're too busy trying to find out whether or not Michael Jackson's going to testify in his own defense. Oh, my God, the runaway bride. Did you hear the latest? She's got shoplifting busts. And that's what you're supposed to be concerned with. Not the fact that they just tell blatant lies and expect you to not notice. So, yeah, it is wonderful to have. I'm glad to be able to do the show. I'm glad there's Air America out there. Truth tellers. Dealing in facts. My side, all we've got to do is put the facts out there. And, well, you know, what does the New Testament say? Let those with ears to hear, hear. And eyes to see, let them see. Now, if you want to live in a fantasy world, maybe you will believe that things, oh, I don't know, Jeff Gannon was a real journalist. Sure, why not? Maybe you'll believe that all these people out there passing, well, Jim West in the legislature of the state of Washington, in the Washington State Senate, leading the charge for the defense of marriage. And he's out there trolling gay websites for little boys. Barely street legal. So, shall we live in reality? Or shall we just give up and worry about whether or not Paula Abdul really did get it on with one of the contestants? To quote Dear Leader, it's hard work. It really is. And I take some small amount of grief from my loving family from time to time over the fact that, well, information overload. Because I consume this stuff. It's, in a way, it's what I was born to do. Consume the information, synthesize the information, sort the information, let the wheat separate from the chaff, and try to see what's being done to this republic with whose defense we were charged. Citizenship and individual personal sovereignty is a job.
It's hard work.
But it is joyous work. Because if we do the work, then we've got something to pass on to the next generation. Right now, I'm 42 years old. My generation is at present a failure when you judge it by the standard of the generations that have come before us. For the first time in the history of this noble Jeffersonian experiment, my generation cannot say with any certitude whatsoever or cannot say and be truthful at this point that we are passing a nation to the next generation that is better than the way we found it. Now, if you ask me, if you don't ask me, I'm going to say it anyway. Part of this has to do with the perversion of this nation over the last 25 years, you know, from Reagan forward. This cult of worship of the oligarchy, the plutocracy, what Jim Hightower calls the kleptocracy. And that is what is putting the shame to my generation. And that is what is putting the shame to America. So you got to keep your eyes open, and we got to talk. It's great to hear from first-timers like Stuart and Peter, because it is the beginning of the dialogue. It is the beginning of the conversation that will change this republic and put it back on the track that Jefferson, Adams, Franklin, Washington, Madison, Monroe, Thomas Paine envisioned. The phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
There are other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around you, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worrying who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime, and your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home.
A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods for the Southern District of West Virginia and the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's here to fly. WWNR, Beckley.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Carter. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. 58 overnight with a slight chance of a thunderstorm as a couple of upper-level disturbances roll across our airspace. Partial cloudiness through Thursday with a possibility of more thunderstorms, only a 30% risk though, so that most of us will either see it in the distance or be underneath it. High tomorrow, 76. Friday looks about a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms as highs reach the mid-70s.
It's
your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Hour number two, indeed. Thank you, Brian Resnick. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock here in beautiful Uptown Beckley, a lovely night descending upon us. Now, I'm planning on being behind the tiller come the weekend, and therefore it is a guaranteed, call Harris in Reno, it's going to rain on the weekend. Doggone it. Let's go back to the phones. Urochmeal has waited patiently, and we appreciate it. Urochmeal, you're head on.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm trying to overcome.
Yeah, make it through another day.
Well, I got a whole life to make it through.
Well, yeah.
Just one day at a time.
Exactly. You know there's a lot of good philosophy in that AA, in some of that AA stuff. One day at a time.
Well, it's also in Mein Kampf. He explains you have to break your long-term goals down into units.
Oh, dear.
And, do each one, one at a time. Oh, there's a lot of stuff. And, if you took the crazy stuff and the evil stuff out of Mein Kampf, which is probably a minority of it, you'd have a very interesting. I find most of it very interesting.
Yeah. Heute Deutschland Morgen den Welt.
What was that?
Heute Deutschland Morgen den Welt.
What's this Morgen den Welt?
Tomorrow the World.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I mean, that's what he said. Today, Germany, tomorrow, the world.
Well,
but,
there are some slogans, Well, I don't know if that slogan is that slogan in there? Or?
I don't know if that's out of Mein Kampf.
A lot of his stuff was not written in Mein Kampf because
he
said a lot of things later on. I don't think there's a word about Nietzsche in there. But,
no.
Of course, if you really look at Nietzsche, he wouldn't like Nietzsche. Nietzsche wouldn't like him. But I'm just saying, I'll put it this way. I'm in the process of reading it.
Yeah,
I know what's in there.
It's a tough read.
I find it very heavy. I find it very annoying.
Yeah, well, it's cumbersome, annoying. It's hard not. It was self-serving in the extreme.
Yeah, but still, I still think there's a lot of I still think if you edited it. You could do it in such a way where you would not, you'll never know that Hitler wrote it.
Probably.
And you could still end up with, I'd say, at least 75% of the book.
You'd wind up with a self-help bestseller.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. And that's one of the most disturbing aspects of it, Urochmeal, is the fact that, and maybe that's what made it so seductive, was that there were a number of people who were willing to overlook the hateful crap and try to find the positivism in it.
Yeah, so I got it. Deutschland Morgen die Welt.
Heute Deutschland Morgen den Morgen.
Heute Deutschland.
Yeah.
Oh, in Yiddish they say Heim.
Oh, okay.
Heute. I don't know. I know Yiddish. German is close enough to confuse me, But because Yiddish is from an older German from 1,000 years ago. The Jews being more conservative, But I wanted to mention, first of all, I was wondering, going to ask you, is this? Do you have Rod Serling there or Art Bell? Last night's program. If you grew up on Farm George,
oh mercy!
You would, that sounded like Art Bell.
No, it was real. As I live and breathe, Urochmeal, it was real.
But it sounded. But that's the kind of thing they do on the Art Bell show. They take fiction, especially the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Or science fiction, or something weird, witchcraft, witchery, and they, he interviewed a real, supposedly a real witch. I don't know if she was a real witch. And she would say things like, Hail Satan. All you have to do, instead of saying hallelujah, you say Hail Satan.
Yeah.
But, that kind of thing. But,
He interviews
people in a serious tone.
Right.
And this man, he has the same style.
Well, it's Alan Colmes, okay? Hannity, and I know you don't have a TV.
I know Hannity and Colmes.
Hannity and Colmes, Hannity beats up Alan every night.
I heard about that from the Hannity show.
It's a setup, but they gave Alan his own radio show.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, Neil Horsley, is a real live, honest to goodness, virulent, mainstream Republican hate monger. And
his method, what I'm saying is, how does propaganda work? I'm trying to get this all together here because it's all tied in. George Bush. I'm reading now the introduction to Jews, God, and History. He lists eight approaches to history. You know, Toynbee, you know.
Yeah, sure.
He lists all these things, Marx, Freud, you know, et cetera. Now, one of them is the personality cult. Wouldn't that be Hitler?
It's Hitler. It's
George Bush.
George Bush. But how can you not say that George Bush is a cult of personality?
Right. But what I'm saying is, he therefore has charisma, as did Ronald Reagan. Oh my, the resurgence of Nazism, you know, recurrence rather. George Bush. Let me compare him to. They have a hypnotic power.
Mm-hmm.
His tone of speaking is in the style of one of these backwoods Southern Baptist preachers.
Jesus, salvation, faith based in it, it's up to the mass destruction, 9/11. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly.
The emotional wave that he rides on, that he. If you would not be wise enough, and there's also, by the way, in the so-called, I say, emphasize, so-called Islamic world, it just so happens that, you know, the Arabic the Quran is a very emotional, tremendous, powerful emotional force.
Yes.
And if a person gets on that force, rides that carpet, you know, that magic carpet, without proper direction, without a pure heart, you know, without proper intentions, they're going to go to the wrong place, man.
Oh,
let me tell you something. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I don't want to take God's name in vain. You know, I'm just giving you an example.
No, I understand.
You know, it's so powerful. When I listen to the Quran in Arabic, you know, I'm just reading this book, Pat Robertson. He says, oh, it's something like the biblical, but it's not, you know, it's no good. But it's basically, you know, all of the same roots, you know, but he doesn't acknowledge that. But when I listen to it, it is so authentic. It is so it's very close to the Hebraic, you know, and it being Semitic. I think it's even more emotional, and they emphasize the simplicity of the faith. But it's so powerful. When I listen to it, I'm just in tears, just out of repentance, you know.
Oh,
it's so beautiful. I mean.
It's stunning in English. I mean,
but he's crying out to humanity that they should surrender to God. That's the whole theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and listen, but George Bush, speaking of misuse of emotion, George Bush, his tone, and the preacher, and I've heard some of these preachers, they are satanical.
Yes. Yes, I mean, people think I'm, people who tune in from time to time think I'm being hyperbolic.
Oh, no, you're not.
When
you're
I said that these are demons.
What you were saying was 100% kosher.
Thank you.
I'm serious. They will get up in front of a congregation. Some idiot, he took a chair and he was swinging the chair around like a maniac. This preacher, another preacher, he took his shoes off and he's running up and down the aisle like a madman. And God told Elijah the prophet, who was so zealous that he was went up in a chariot of fire. You know, Elijah was fire.
Yeah.
It says that God told him that God is in the still small voice. He's not in the wind and the, you know, breaking against the rocks. You know, remember that saying?
Right. And that's mirrored in what Jesus said when he said, if you've got to communicate with the Father, get in a closet, get it said, get it done, and get out. You know, that's the same,
between you and him.
Yeah, it's the same still small voice. It's not the it's not the charlatan screaming in the street. Is there any better analogy for Jimmy Swaggart or Robertson or Falwell or Dobson?
The trouble with Jimmy Swaggart is that he swaggers too much.
Mm.
But
these are all charlatans screaming in the street, and the street happens to be a satellite in geosynchronous orbit, bouncing the garbage back down to the world.
Right. And by the way, now, speaking of, and I have, must include the snake oil huckster or the mountebank. You know, the guy in the Old West, God knows, Dr. Jones's tonic.
Yeah.
Make your hair grow. You know, it's like I see on the radio now, make your muscle give you more muscle, improve your memory, make you Superman, you know, you look better, you'll have more with women and all that, you know.
Right.
But he has a way of selling stuff. He's a businessman. Let's not forget, Ronald Reagan was an actor. George Bush is a businessman. Not a good businessman, but he's a businessman.
Sure.
And at least he tries, you know. And now here's the thing about the Ten Commandments. It seems to me, just as the Old Testament, which is the letter of the law, is summarized in the Ten Commandments, it seems to me that the New Testament, which is the spirit of the law, would be summarized in the Beatitudes.
One would think, yeah.
And I don't see any insistence upon posting the Beatitudes anywhere. Certainly you can forget about practicing.
Oh, good shot, Urachneel. Good shot.
You know, isn't that what this whole thing is about? Self-righteousness. Not that the Ten Commandments preach self-righteousness. It's just that it's been taken that way for about 2,000 years.
Yeah, or more.
Yeah. On a global scale, for Christianity,
right.
You know,
sure.
Forget about the Pharisees, you know, I mean, that was limited to their own society.
Right.
And now they've taken Moses taught, if they want to establish the biblical way of life, I have some suggestions for them.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, all debts are to be forgiven every 7 years under sabbatical.
Yep.
And if they believe in Jesus so much, I'm going to try to summarize this in about a minute, but it goes like this. There was this Democratic king who had a Republican servant, and the Republican servant owed the king a fortune of money, like $10,000. The king said, pay me the $10,000, or I'll sell you, your wife, your children, and everything you have just to get the debt paid. He bowed down to the king. And he said, please, give me a chance, give me some time, and I'll pay you every penny of it. You know, and he was so humble to the king, he said, well, I'll let you go. So he went out into the street, met a fellow servant, this nasty Republican. He met a fellow servant who owed him $100. This is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed him by the throat, and he choked him. He said, you pay me my $100, or I'm going to have you thrown in prison. And the man said, he bowed down to him, just like the other man did. You know, he bowed down and said, please, please, don't do it. He said, no, you'll pay me the $100 or you'll want to go to prison. So the other servants went to the king and said, this dude is nasty. After what you did to him, the king called him. He was mad. He said, I was kind to you because you respected me so much, you know, and I thought you really loved me. You bowed down to me and begged me. I said, I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors until you pay me every penny of it. Didn't they just do this lately with the legislation?
Yeah, isn't that the bankruptcy legislation?
Didn't I say I got a phone call from hell and it was Ronald Reagan and he said a poor man came and knocked it at my door and said, sorry, son, the corporation forgot had to fall. You know, isn't this what the whole thing is about? I mean, God, give me a break. I mean, they're trying to undo. They're saying, you know, it's not the government's responsibility. Well, if they want to stump the Bible, King Nebuchadnezzar was dethroned and cast out into the wilderness to live like a beast.
Many take a lufarkin.
Right. And, of course, he wouldn't have compassion. One of the reasons was he was proud, but he wouldn't have compassion on the poor.
Right.
And that's not the private sector.
No. Well, how many good Christian bankers do you think? Well, there's that word. Good religion industry bankers, do you think, that are out there that think that they are going to be welcomed at the pearly gates?
Well, I don't know, but
there they are, lending money at interest.
Let me go down the list here. Another example of how we have to establish the laws of Moses is we have to allow polygamy.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have to, if somebody goes in your field and eats your corn without gathering it in a basket or a bushel, and you know, without walking off in a some kind of vessel, well, they're allowed to go there, stand there, and eat it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to make so many sacrifices. And as Moses, hey, you know what else they'll have to do?
The Red Lobster franchise is done for, you, Otmeal.
Well, yeah, but they'll have to stop hating people you know, they'll have to start loving people. I think that'll be the worst part.
Yeah, I'm guessing that doesn't happen. I'm just guessing that doesn't happen.
Well, we got the music that's coming in. Yeah. Is that from Rod Serling or what?
No, that's Santana.
All right.
Carlos Santana.
Well, you got me scared there last night. I thought Art Bell was, I thought you were trying to put Art Bell out of business.
No. I couldn't touch that. That was just, well, that's what you get with these people. You rock me. You get reality that can't, you get fiction that can't compete with reality anymore. That's what you get. It's that guy is real. I mean, you can read about him. Neil Horsley, Horsley, and everything that he said on Alan Colmes' program, he has said 1,000 times before.
The truth is stranger than fiction. Is that it? Well, God have mercy on us that we don't go to hell in advance.
Or any other conveyance. Thank you, Rock Mill. Always good to hear from you. Take care. Let's do take our break. When we come back, a little email here. And maybe another little something to ponder. You know, fascism. Nah, not us. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. From the block just up your street, with neighbors you should meet.
An injury or illness could not only affect your health, it could put your finances in jeopardy. Anything from buying everyday items like groceries to saving for retirement could become a burden. That's why it's important you talk to a State Farm agent, Will Straub in Beckley, Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood, about making health insurance an essential part of your financial plan. They can help you protect your financial health with competitively priced health insurance products from Assurant Health. For more information on health insurance from Assurant Health, talk to Will Straub in Beckley, or Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood. Coverage is issued and underwritten by Fortis Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No member of the State Farm family of companies is financially responsible for the product. Fortis Insurance Company is not an affiliate of State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm
is. Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big, worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on the way to work. People who share your same area code. Place a Cupid membership so free with zero obligations. You can even apply messages from your own apps, a service you need to pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that load to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives 3 states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or in by phone or phones.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
We're back. I don't think in the time remaining before the bottom of the hour break we've got time to do this fascism subject justice, so we're going to hold off. Yeah, me and that mouse in my pocket. I'm going to hold off on that until after the bottom of the hour news break and Carl Max news update and Jim Hightower. The 14 defining characteristics of fascism, we've talked about them from time to time, but it never hurts to go over them and just look at what sort of new elements we can plug into those individual units. We got an email from our friend David in South Carolina. Remember last year during the presidential campaign and all the alerts during the Democratic convention and how the Bin Laden video turned up right before the election? How do we know that's him in all the videos? Oh, because we saw it on the news. David writes, and they said Howard Dean was crazy for suggesting that Rove was using terror alerts for political purposes. Well, he was crazy then, but he's sane now. Or else Tom Ridge is crazy, too. I mean, that was yesterday. That was a tacit admission on the part of Tom Ridge that we, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, achieve domestic tranquility, assure for ourselves and our posterity. Why bother?
All we need to know is that there's a lot to be afraid of. David's absolutely right. I remember the big bad bust of, I thought the guy was the Al-Qaeda number three back then at the time of the Democratic Convention. Remember that bust? All quiet. Once again, busting Al-Qaeda number three turns out to be number two. Just like the case of mistaken identity with, what's his name, Al-Libi. Oh, we got the number three man in Al-Qaeda. Turns out he was, at best, a low-level crank. And Howard Dean, I'm still not over the Scream. Because people talk about the Scream and they don't know a blessed thing about what they're talking about. Now, we fool with, you hear this? That's a microphone. We fool with things like audio equipment in this business. And in that room in Iowa, was it? That was a huge room filled with thousands, well, hundreds if not thousands of Dean supporters. And it was very, very loud and very, very raucous. And you could not hear the Scream, the so-called Scream, from the back of the room. Many of you are familiar with this. You couldn't hear this. If you were standing in the room, you couldn't hear the Scream. But instead, the mainstream media, you know, the liberal media. I just love saying that, liberal media. It just makes me smile. It's so silly. The liberal media took the direct feed, the direct media feed, into the mixing board that had canceled out of it all the crowd noise, and it was just one big scream. And it made Howard Dean look as crazy as a sprayed roach. Some people did. I didn't find it that way. I found it kind of refreshing that we would have a politician who looked like he actually had some emotions. Or at least had emotions at other times besides when holding hands and kissing on an Arab prince. Eesh. So, yeah, we've been manipulated. I haven't been. The smart people, the liberals, the progressives haven't been, because we've got our eyes wide open and we live in reality. But terrified America has been manipulated seven different ways from Sunday. If you had spot ratings for CNN this afternoon, what do you want to bet that the business with the Cessna airplane drove its spot ratings through the roof? You know, just a quick little spike until we found out that it was all more Bush administration bug spray. Sure, absolutely. Nah, they wouldn't try to scare us for political. Yes, they would. They will do anything. These are Republicans. They will do anything in their power to remain in power so that they can achieve their stated goals, not the least of which is the destruction of the middle class. Welcome to the 21st century. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Senator Byrd says he plans to deliver a group of letters to the Pentagon which show support for keeping the 130th Airlift Wing of the West Virginia National Guard open in Charleston. Senator Byrd says he remains concerned that the 130th may be on the Defense Department's base closure list that will be released on Friday. He says he's spoken with state, county, and local leaders who are sending him letters that he'll take to the Pentagon. Applied Card Systems has announced it will be keeping hundreds of jobs in Huntington for at least one more year. The company announced yesterday that it has renewed the lease with Arch Coal Facility for a year. The company said in a news release it's demonstrating good faith in attempting to resolve issues with the West Virginia Attorney General's office. Hundreds of West Virginia 8th graders have earned the coveted Golden Horseshoe Society pin. Yesterday in Charleston, the boys and girls gained entrance into the organization whose members now total some 15,000. A federal grand jury investigation into a coal slurry spill from a Massey Energy subsidiary in Kentucky has been halted, that according to Massey's quarterly filing yesterday with the Securities and Exchange Commission. But eight lawsuits and a federal Mine Safety and Health Administration fine remain in connection with Martin County Coal Corporation's release of 250 million gallons of coal slurry. And the town of Oak Hill plans to turn the former Pure Oil service station, where a chauffeur discovered the death of country music legend Hank Williams Sr., into a museum. Williams was being driven from Montgomery, Alabama to Canton, Ohio for a concert when his driver found him dead after he pulled into the songwriter's baby blue Cadillac, pulled the car, that is, into the old Pure Oil station. Williams was declared dead at the former Oak Hill Hospital on New Year's Day 1953 at age 29. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy and mild. Now temperatures near 70. Tonight partly cloudy with a low near 57. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
One of the serious claims made by those who run corporate America is that the paper entity called a corporation must be treated as human beings, entitled to the same constitutional rights that we living, breathing U.S. citizens have, including the human right to freedom of speech. Of course, a corporation is a thing, not a person. And to see how absurd it is for corporate executives to claim that their entity should have democratic rights, just sneak a peek at how they treat the free speech rights of shareholders, the actual people who own the corporations. In theory, shareholders are the ultimate boss of any corporation, supreme over the executives who are the hired hands doing day-to-day management. In practice, however, the relationship is turned on its head, with the executives bossing the owners. The annual shareholder meeting is when owners supposedly get to grill their hirelings and set corporate policy. But these meetings have become a sad farce. For example, at this year's gathering of the shareholders of Weyerhaeuser, the executives imperiously decreed that the owners would no longer be able to go to an open microphone on the floor and ask whatever they wanted. Instead of free speech, questions for the Weyerhaeuser CEO had to be submitted in writing, and only 15 minutes were devoted to answering the owner's questions. Of the 30 questions submitted, management deigned to respond only to 12 of them. And even then, Weyerhaeuser's autocratic executives cut short the 15-minute Q&A period. One rebellious shareholder had the temerity to rise and ask why, and he was summarily ejected from the meeting by a burly security guard, a guard hired by management and paid with the shareholder's own money. It was a crude and rude move that New York Times business columnist Gretchen Morgenson termed Kremlin-esque. This is Jim Hightower saying, why would we extend free speech rights to totalitarian entities that deny the most basic rights to their own owners?
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from a Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.kla.org.
WWNR Beckley.
We are for the real majority.
Head on.
Welcome back. I promised a look at this. Now, this is the work of one Dr. Lawrence Britt. And he analyzed the fascist regimes of Germany, Italy, Spain, and Indonesia, and a number of Latin American regimes. Of course, that would be Hitler, Mussolini, Franco, Suharto, and
How's it referred to on Pink Floyd's The Final Cut? A number of Latin American meatpacking glitterati. But he found 14 common characteristics to fascism. And it makes pretty good sense. One, powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes make constant use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, other paraphernalia. Can't turn around without seeing a flag. And there are flag symbols on clothing and cars and public displays. Part two, and I think part one, item one is self-evident. Item two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. Because of the fear of enemies and the need for security, there's a plane headed for the White House, a little bitty Cessna with one engine, and you get the idea. People in fascist regimes are persuaded that human rights can be ignored in certain cases. Guantanamo Bay, rendition of people to Egypt, Syria. Yeah. People tend to look the other way or even approve of torture. Hello, Alberto Gonzalez. What are you doing here? And, Abu Ghraib. My friends, it was nothing more than a little fraternity prank. Okay? Number three, identification of an enemy or scapegoat as a unifying cause. Patriotic frenzy over a common threat or foe. Generally, it is racial, ethnic, or religious minority. Also, popular targets of this hatred, scapegoating, are liberals, commies, socialists, you know, that kind of thing. Number four, supremacy of the military. Even when the entire economy is going down the tank, down the tubes, in the tank, going south, the military gets a disproportionate chunk of the budget of that of the given country. Have a look at the Pentagon budget. How many billions of dollars did we lose in the sofa over at the Coalition Provisional Authority? It's right around 10 billion now, isn't it? Rampant sexism. Well, you can figure that one out for yourself. Controlled mass media. Let's see. How many conglomerates own the better part of the entire broadcast print journalism, broadcast journalism? CBS. Let's see. That would be Viacom. ABC, Disney. NBC, General Electric. General Electric, by the way, who has, I don't have the link for it, you'll have to go look for it. You know, you're liberals, you're progressives. I'm not trying to be mean, but some of these things, we're the smart people. We can figure these things out. I mentioned the picture of Nancy dancing George last night. By the time I got home, I had a link to the video of it, and there he was with his little hands on his hips and swinging his bottom. Oh, that's precious. So some of these, GE, they've got this new clean green coal ad out. Our good friend Vernon alerted me to it via an email that's got sexy women covered in fake coal dust with hard hats on, jiggling to the tune of, 16 tons. And, Vernon noted, I'm not sure what the message is here, unless it is that coal will bring us 260 years of power and hot sex if we can just get rid of those gosh darn hillbillies. Controlled mass media. Fox, MSNBC, that's Microsoft and NBC, CNN, that's Time Warner. Yeah, controlled mass media in the fascist state. Obsession with national security is number seven. Fear is, I'll be darned. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Are you afraid? I'm afraid. 9/11's a cow. Eight, religion and government are intertwined. No. Governments in fascist nations tend to use the most common religion in the nation as a tool to manipulate public opinion. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. Case in point, the George Bush is a member of the Methodist Church. The head of the Methodist Church tried to get an audience with His Holiness George II before he started his ugly little war, and the White House said, no, we don't want to hear from you. 9. Corporate power is protected. Well, did you hear Jim Hightower? 10. Labor power is suppressed. Yeah, Elaine Chao's Labor Department. You damn unions better be careful what kind of money you spend opposing the sweet little Georgie's plan to piratize Social Security, or we'll drop a rock on you. And we've spent how many millions of dollars for George to fly around the country and tout his creepy little scheme. 11. Disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Fascist nations tend to promote and tolerate open hostility to higher education and academia.
There is open hostility to conservatism on college campuses today. We need more conservative professors. Because, you see, it's not a free exchange of ideas, because we're not being able to tell our conservative side of the story. For instance, the fact that a gossipy snake was the beginning of human intelligence. Yeah. Check.
Obsession with crime and punishment. That's number 12. I've already told you we live in a punishment fetish society. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce laws. Anyone for a handcuffed 5-year-old? The people are often willing to overlook police abuses and even forego civil liberties in the name of patriotism. No, that hasn't happened here. Pay for that? Yeah, it has. Rampant cronyism and corruption. Halliburton. 14. Fraudulent elections. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. No, really? Over at Brad Blog, our good friend Brad Friedman pointed out a column, and our good FOB Scotty sent it along as well. Jim Lampley has penned a doozy, and it's worth the time it'll take you to read it. I've got it here somewhere. Oh, doggone it. I hate it when this happens. But at any rate, give me a minute. No, that's Tom Ridge. See, I hate it when this happens. No, Jim Lampley. You know, sports, boxing, Jim Lampley. Yeah, here it is. The biggest story of our lives is what it's called. And he has been blasted for this. I believe you can find it at thehuffingtonpost.com. Titled The Biggest Story of Our Lives. Here's what he says. Karl Rove isn't capable of conceiving and executing such a grandiose crime. He's talking about the November 2004 elections in Ohio. Wake up. They did it. The silence of traditional media on this subject is enough to establish their newfound bankruptcy. The revolution will have to start here. I challenge every other thinker at Huffington Post. Is there any greater imperative than to reverse this crime and reestablish democracy in America? Why the mass silence? Well, our good friend Bob Kohler from Tribune Media Services, he's broken the silence. We're proud of him. Lampley says, let's go to work with the circumstantial evidence, begin to narrow from the outside in, and find some witnesses who will turn. That's how they cracked Watergate. This is bigger, and I never dreamed I would say that in my baby boomer lifetime. Well, if the worm's going to turn, it better get going, because we need some clean elections by 2006. So those are the 14 defining characteristics of fascism. And I can't take issue with not one of them. Not a single one.
Pointy-headed intellectual liberals.
Yeah, disdain. Disdain for academia. Maybe we could add one more. A fantasy of a better time.
You know, things would just be better if we could go back to the way they was when everybody had to spend all their time reading the Bible in school instead of learning anything.
That's what we're talking about. Let's go to the phones. The phone number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620. 9967. Jeff is with us. Haven't heard from you in a while. Jeff, you doing all right? You there?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, we're debating CAFTA on the floor of the House right now.
Oh, the Central American Free Trade Agreement?
Mm-hmm. Huh. It has a pretty strong bipartisan opposition.
Good.
It's going to be very close.
Well, God, I hope it fails.
I do too. I'm hoping so too. There's a lot of people speaking out against it, and I haven't seen any of West Virginia's representatives there, but there's a lot of them from Ohio.
Have you seen? Well, you know, do you notice? You know, we started with NAFTA, and now it's CAFTA. We're kind of balkanizing the Western Hemisphere, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah, and plus they're cookie cutter trade agreements, and that's why they're all the same. And if they'll show you a chart, they show charts of the trade imbalances after each one of them are passed, like allowing China into the world trade, the WTO and NAFTA, and just the little line graph, just when they pass those agreements, it just goes straight up. Like when we started out about 20 years ago, our trade imbalance was only about $38 billion, and now it's $660 billion.
Yeah, and we were having fits about that 20 years ago.
Yeah. And Marcy Kaptur was on there talking about how people in Nicaragua are making 23 cents to make a pair of jeans, and that jeans is selling for $25 or $30 here in Walmart and in Honduras.
Right, and you just pointed out, Jeff, right there, you just pointed out the big lie of free trade.
Mm-hmm. It is. Because, I know.
Because that, you know, if you're getting 23 cents an hour to make a pair of jeans, how many pair of jeans can you sew in an hour? I mean, the really good seamstresses, I guess that's
one?
Sexist. But, oh, no, more than that.
Oh, could you?
Oh, heavens, yes. Growing up where I did, there were lots of textile factories, and the people who are good at what they do, man, it's boom, 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 and do another one.
Hmm.
And so it's more than one pair of jeans an hour, but at 23 cents an hour for labor, plus, you know, the cost of the cloth is probably negligible.
Probably that much.
And then you turn around, you're selling it for 25.
Yeah.
That's pure profit, just about, isn't it? I mean,
in Honduras, they're making 12-cent shirts. Marcy Kaptur brought some people from Honduras up here that were getting 12 cents for each shirt that they finished. And she showed them the same shirts from their same company on racks for $20, and the girls couldn't hardly believe it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Nicaragua, though, because I was reading a story earlier today about the chemicals that we sent down there via the fruit companies,
mm-hmm.
Standard Fruit, that's now known as Dole. What was it called? Nemagon, N-E-M-A-G-O-N. And we have ruined an entire generation, just about, of people who worked in those banana fields.
Oh, with cancer and things like that?
Kidney failure, cancer.
Really?
Yeah, neurotoxins. Look up Nemagon, N-E-M-A-G-O-N.
All right.
And as far back as the 1950s, the scientists at the company, well, Shell was part of it, and Occidental Petroleum, they knew that it caused testicular atrophy and sterility in rats.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, and knowing that, they still shipped it down because, you know, it's just peasants working in the banana fields. I hate that attitude, Jeff. And that is part and parcel of CAFTA.
Yeah, I know.
It's not, you know, free trade is not free trade unless there's a level playing field.
America's income is $38,000 across the country. Average.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica's is $9,100. Dominican is $6,000. Guatemala's is $41,000. Honduras, $25,000. Nicaragua, $23,000. All those six countries, El Salvador is the other one that's $4,600.
Not thousand.
Yeah. Their entire buying power, their whole market, all six of those countries' economies are the equivalent of Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or Columbus, or Orlando.
And guess what happens?
It's a mid-sized American city, all six of them countries.
And guess what happens with CAFTA?
What?
It goes down.
Yeah.
It doesn't go up. There's another insidious side of this that we also neglect to mention. One of the reasons that American corporations like to take their business down there,
mm-hmm.
is because the governments are weak enough that they know that they can pollute with impunity.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. They get by with doing their pollution wrong.
So
not following rules.
So that's not free trade. Unless we're able to, it can't possibly be free trade unless we are able to impose environmental regulations down there like we have here. It's not free, it's not fair, and it's not level.
On the upcoming base closure proposals,
mm-hmm.
I assume you'll be for that.
Why? Why do you assume that?
Well, because you want to try to balance the budget and rein in the deficit, don't you?
I hate waste.
But that's not what, I mean, base closures are what's on the table.
I know, and I'm to say I'm across the board for it or across the board against it, that's a sweeping generalization that I'm not prepared to make.
Would you be, I mean, does it depend on which ones it is?
Or their utility.
What do you mean, like?
Their usefulness. I think that we probably have a legitimate need for an air base near Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
So that we can scramble jets to chase down single-engine Cessnas. Mm-hmm. Although we couldn't scramble them to chase down great big giant jumbo jets. That we have a need for that.
I mean, some bases I think we can handle being closed. Because, like, you know, I talked to Steve a little bit this morning. You know, there's never going to be a time when there's going to be boatloads of soldiers doing amphibious landing in California or Florida. That's never going to happen.
Never say never, Jeff.
Well, man, it can't happen.
You forget that, you know, while it wasn't a sustained effort, during the Second World War, Japanese submarines were able to get within shooting range of...
Alaska or California?
I believe it was either Northern California or Washington State. But they started a forest fire.
The way we have satellites watching... And radars and offshore and with carriers in Hawaii, and mostly it's satellites, man. We know where everybody's boats are. And there's just no way nobody could bring a big, giant bunch of ships and attack us. It cannot happen. And, you know, we have 4,700 military bases overseas.
Did you
know that many?
No, I didn't.
4,700.
Where in the world are they?
They're everywhere.
I know the Germans are getting a little worn out with us.
You know, but, you know, like we've said a lot on here, you know, see, what is America's military combined, 6-7 other top ones put together?
We are about to, I think it's said in the next 10 years, Jeff, that our military expenditures will exceed the entire world put together.
So, you know, let's close some bases. You know, let's try to rein in the spending. You know, I'd rather have 5% of the bases cut in the closed in America than slash Medicaid's budget by 25%.
Well, I understand that, and I generally agree with you. On the other hand, it's a question of necessity, and I know this is a little bit tangential.
What about take Charleston?
Well, I know this is tangential, but consider this for a moment. When we were just starting the so-called war on a noun, the war on terror, we found out that, a number of our Arab language specialists, and they were in the military, we found out they were gay. And they were promptly cashiered and bounced and thrown out of the military for being gay. And we had a desperate need for Arab language specialists, but apparently our priorities were that we hated gays more than we appreciated having military security via language learning. That was dumb. Now, I don't want to cut the budget. The language school is in, I believe, Arizona, the Military Language Institute, or maybe the California desert somewhere. I'm not sure. I don't want to close that. I think you have to look at it on a case-by-case-by-case basis. You can't just say we're going to cut 5% of them, hell or high water.
There's national deficit tickers on the Internet, and they just fly.
Oh, I know.
And we're not going to be able to grow our economy enough to pay that off.
But you see that
cuts must be made.
But you've got to go back. You really need to go back and read Eisenhower's military-industrial complex speech. If you never have, you
should.
Yeah, it's a speech. It was his closing speech,
hmm.
where he warned America about the growing military-industrial complex. Hmm. It shook the nation up. We have an economy that runs in large part on our ability to make things to kill other people with.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest exports.
GE is the single largest defense contractor in the world, I do believe.
I know that military stuff is really keeps our trade deficit from being worse than it is.
And yet, at the same time, this one just kind of boggled my mind. I'm sure it'll probably do to you what it did to me. We just signed a contract in Iraq.
Yeah.
Now I've heard you talking, and I'm not going to get into the philosophy of it, but I've heard you talking about how we are equipping and training the Iraqi National Security Force.
Right.
And we're doing that with American money, right?
We're supposed to be.
Right. Well, guess who's going to be supplying the equipment, Jeff?
I don't know.
China.
I hate that.
We just signed a contract. The Bush administration just encouraged a contract for the purchase of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of AK-47s from communist China.
I don't understand that. I wonder how much an AK costs.
Well, they're cheaper than M-16.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
You know, we're going to... Again, and this is a case of the... Look, I oppose this war, but by golly, if you're going to have one, don't do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the AK-47 is a brilliant weapon as well. You can roll, you can just about throw it, encase it in mud, take it out, and it's going to shoot.
Is it a better gun than an M-16? You think?
In terms of its reliability, absolutely. I mean,
really?
it goes all the way back to Vietnam. We had soldiers in Vietnam who would throw away their M-16 if they could take an AK-47 off of a Viet Cong.
Hmm.
Because the darn thing would work.
Yeah.
You know, when you got somebody coming at you and you pull the trigger and it doesn't go bang, it's not much of a gun.
You're dead.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of the Kalashnikov. It works.
Well, we just, everybody, I'd like to hear how Nick Rahoff stands on this CAFTA. And if he was against it, I would say, and I'd praise him for that. And I'm going to send him an email, and maybe the rest of us, and I figure Jim will do it too. I figure Jim opposes it, and you might send him one and see what he thinks about this. I bet you he's against it. But, other than that, the only thing we can do is smart shopping when we're out looking at the tag on something. And unless you just have to have something, and it's either that or do without, and you need it.
Well, there's another...
Buy American. That's all we can do.
And if you want to buy American, there is another thing you can do, Jeff. If you look on my website under the links section...
Links.
I believe there is still a link there to... I believe it's nosweatshops.com, but it'll make itself obvious to you.
Okay.
You can buy American there, and it's union-made, it's rock-solid quality, and you'll pay less for it than you'd pay in Walmart.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good night.
Yep.
I think we need to hit this story a little bit. $29 million worth of Chinese arms we're buying for the Iraqi army. Buy American. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on it. News Talk 620 WWNR. Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call for free 877-2-RECYCLE.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. 58 overnight with a slight chance of a thunderstorm as a couple of upper-level disturbances will roll across our airspace. Partial cloudiness through Thursday with the possibility of more thunderstorms, only a 30% risk though, so I think most of us will either see it in the distance or be right underneath it. High tomorrow, 76. Friday was about a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms as highs reach them at 70. A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Just got a link from to a thread at Democratic Underground from our good friend Ben.
I'm not sure necessarily if he meant it this way, but I'm just reading through it. And it has to do with, the thread itself has to do with the difference between the sex trade and the sex industry. And sometimes my side of the fight amazes me. On the one hand, we'd like to oppose the fascists, but on the other, we're just too damn busy opposing each other. If you want to go there, Democratic Underground, it's under general discussion, in the lobby, in the general discussion area. Sex trade is not the same as sex industry. Our side is as guilty of being able to, swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. Bless his heart, Ben jumps out there. I'm not trying to make this, too gossipy or anything, but he jumps out there, provides some good data. You get rock solid data from Ben. And then somebody starts crying because they're not the focus of it. Listen, if in this fight that we're in, we can't figure out who's on our side and who the other side is, we got problems. We got real problems. So that's just an aside. The phone number is 252-6200, hereabouts. And outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And as has been proven, it works all over the country. The 9967 WWNR, just like our station's call letters. Now, I mentioned this story to Jeff in passing, and it deserves a lot more than just in passing. Now, this is your government. And I know that there are people, there are lots of people out there from the wrong side of the argument, I mean Republicans and confused people, who think that the Iraq war is going to bring freedom and frisbees and wheat checks to Iraq. While I will grant that it remains to be seen, I think the odds are long against that position. But still, they think the war is a really neat and groovy thing. Now, this is an article by Jonathan S. Landay from Knight Ridder News Services. I found it on the San Jose Mercury News. Listen carefully, especially you people who support the war. The U.S. Army, I'll read it slowly, the U.S. Army has approved the purchase of more than $29 million worth of weapons for the new Iraqi army from a Chinese company that is under federal indictment in San Francisco in connection with the smuggling of 2,000 AK-47 automatic rifles through the Port of Oakland in 1996. Got that? Army Lieutenant Colonel Joe Yaswa, a Pentagon official, said the U.S. Army Tank Automotive and Armaments Command approved the contract for Poly Technologies after checking the company's background. Well, this must be the U.S. Army Tank Automotive Army Tank Automotive and Armaments Illiterate Command. How hard is it to find an indictment in Frisco of a Chinese arms company? Polytechnologies, under the contract, remember, $29 million. I'm guessing that's our money. That's part of the, what was it, $76, $81 billion that was approved without so much as a whisper by good, godly, never mind the hyperbole. Bunch of Democrats just went, bah, yay, I vote yay, because Karl Rove will be mean to me if I vote against this ripoff. $29 million contract. Polytechnologies will deliver under that contract. Polytechnologies, who was under indictment in San Francisco for the biggest bust of smuggled automatic weapons in U.S. history, Polytechnologies will deliver 2,369. What? 2,369. Now, just stop it for a minute. Now, I'm not for wasting money, but we're buying in volume here.
I mean, somebody do the math. I can't do the math on the fly. How many AK-47s to a crate? 2,369 light and heavy machine guns. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the light and heavy machine guns. 14,653 AK-47s. And 72 million rounds of ammunition worth $29.3 million by Saturday. Now, you do remember, don't you, that Dancing George, you do remember that Dancing George has been out there squealing like a schoolgirl about Europe selling arms to China, right? And technology, blah, blah. You remember that, don't you? Sure you do. Really? Wingnuts? Tell me. Because, dadgummit, I want to know. I feel like something out of a Mark Twain short story. You know, ease my suffering. I want to know how it is that the Bush administration can do $29 million worth of weapons business with China, and it's okay with you. Yeah, this story is not exactly brand new. This is an older story. I mean, this comes from the end of April. Please help me. This makes my head hurt. Like I said, it's an older story, and I catch a little bit of the savage wiener every night on the way home. How does this... I haven't heard Wiener or anybody say a word about this story. Is it just because it's unfavorable to Bush and therefore, since they carry water for him, we can't do that? Let's go to Barry. He's on a cell phone. Don't want to make him wait. Hey, Barry, your head on. You there?
I don't know. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, I hope.
Okay. I don't know anything about this weapons deal that was sold. You know, I'm sure that if they did sell anything, it's something that they wanted to sell. If you remember that we sold Iraq a lot of things before we invaded in 1990.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Poison gas.
Wait a minute. If I sell somebody a radio and I have that radio back, we sold a lot of radios. We sold a lot of stuff that was electronic. That we know what they was doing. We know what they was saying. We know what their people was thinking.
Sure.
So, Maybe that's some of what was sold. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I've got the list here. We know what's being sold. We know what's being purchased from the Chinese for the Iraqi army. 2,369 light and heavy machine guns, 14,653 AK-47s, and 72 million rounds of ammo.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bill of lading.
Yeah. Well, but now, that's not much defense against the Tomcat, is it?
Well, I don't think anybody's concerned about that. This is what's going to be used on the so-called insurgency. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what I want to know is why we can't do business with America.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. That's the first I've heard of, so I don't know about that. But I heard you talking about, you know, thinking that Iraq was going to be, you know, just everything's just going to be hunky-dory. But if you take the same amount of time in the Revolutionary War, and in America,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people were saying, oh, it was a terrible mistake. It was a terrible mistake. You know, it's going to be terrible.
On July the 4th, 1776, Barry, less than 50% of the colonists supported independence from Britain.
Right, right, right. So, I mean, you know, it's going to take some time. Only time will tell.
Well, you're right. And like I said, I know there are people that think it's just going to be a democratic wonderland. I would take odds against that.
Well, I would too. I mean, I would too. I think there may be some improvements, but I don't think it's just going to change.
Well, the thing, I mean, what can you make of it when Ahmed Chalabi, you know, the guy that we paid $346,000 a month to tell us that there were mobile weapons labs
mm-hmm.
that weren't there in the first place, who at the very same time was funneling information about our plans to the Iranians, what can you say about the Iraqi democracy when that guy's in charge? He's the oil minister now.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm headed down into the hole, so I'm going to lose you on
all
the
right.
telephone.
Well,
okay.
I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Take care.
Matt.
This, it's still, it's, oh, look, you know, Poly Technologies, that's the Chinese company, won the contract in February from the International Trading Establishment, a Jordan-based consortium. The Army selected the consortium to supply Iraq's fledgling security forces. Some of this just makes me a little bit speechless. Okay, the Chinese can make AK-47s cheaper than anybody in the world, maybe they're more reliable than an M-16. Okay. Light and heavy machine guns? Uzis? Oh, those are Israeli. They probably wouldn't take kindly to being given Uzis. MAC-10s, Tech-9s, whatever. 72 million rounds of ammunition. Am I to understand that in this absolutely gun-crazed country that we don't have anybody who can manufacture AK-47 ammo? Not even one company? Or is this a case of spreading the love? Now, in case you were wondering about the indictment, 1996 smuggling case, Dynasty Holding of Atlanta, that's the name that Polytechnologies was doing business in the United States under. 14 co-defendants, 30-count indictment, sting operation, U.S. Treasury and U.S. Customs agents. The agents paid $700,000 for 2,000 fully automatic AK-47s that were shipped into Oakland aboard a Chinese-owned vessel from China in March 1996. And it involves, one individual, a guy named Ma. Ma was a former Chinese Army general who was the U.S. firm's representative. And you, by the way, just as an aside, I know I'm kind of all over the board on this one. Just as an aside, you do realize that a number of the factories in the People's Republic of China wherein are made the crap that you like to go to Walmart and buy, you do understand that those factories are owned by the People's Red Army. You do know that, right? If you do know that and you keep shopping there, shame on you. If you don't, and now you do, don't ever go there again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The world championship match had already lasted over 5 months, but the young man was going strong. His story next on Biography for Radio.
The notion of a 40-hour work week is several hours short of reality. Working long hours is a given when you run your own business. And since it's tough to be away from your business during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10, when we're open exclusively for business members. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
It was 1984. The World Chess Championship was underway between the reigning champion, Anatoly Karpov, a young newcomer. Karpov was a veteran. His 21-year-old rival from Azerbaijan was said to be brilliant, a little eccentric. Before each match, he read Russian poetry. It gave him inspiration, he said. To win the championship, one player had to take 6 games. But the two were well matched. Game after game was a draw. Karpov was dog-tired. He had lost 22 pounds in the weeks of play and had been hospitalized several times. But he was one game from winning and wanted to play on. So it came as a shock when the International Chess Federation called off the match, saying the players were exhausted. The younger man was bitter, but a year later he got his revenge. At the age of 22, he beat Karpov and became the youngest ever world chess champion. In the years following, he made headlines by outwitting the chess-playing computer Deep Blue, and then later losing to the machine. In March 2005, he stunned the world by suddenly announcing his retirement. With his avid interest in Russian politics, it is unlikely to be the last we hear from chess genius Garry Kasparov. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
You can be right if you're wrong, or be left if you're right. The Top and K.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock as we wind down this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good to hear from Barry. First time caller, as far as I can tell. I keep a running mental list. I don't recall hearing from Barry before. Welcome, and I hope we'll hear from you again, Barry. You may be in a cell phone hole, but maybe you're not in a radio hole. Moving on. That just blew me away. We're buying AK-47s from China to equip the Iraqi army. And it's not because we think the M-16s are better in case we ever have to go in and kill them again. Same factory that makes Walmart stuff in China probably made the AK-47. Sam's, we're in business for small countries. Ugh. We're in business to arm small countries. Ugh. So we've got that. God almighty. Meanwhile, bouncing around from that liberal of that liberal bastion, the Financial Times of London. Headline published yesterday: U.S. real wages fall at fastest rate in 14 years. Real wages in the U.S. are falling at their fastest rate in 14 years, according to data surveyed by the Financial Times. And I know there's numbers and decimal points in this, and it makes my eyes roll back in my head, too. That's why there are economists. Inflation rose 3.1% in the year to March, but salaries climbed just 2.4%. According to the Employment Cost Index, in the final 3 months of 2004, real wages fell by 0.9%. Let's see, so U.S. real wages fall at a faster rate in 14 years. Here I go trying to do math on the fly again. 2005 minus 14, 1991. Oh, okay, I understand now. Real wages are falling as fast or faster than they have since the last time a Bush was president. How many times do we have to see this? Republican president. Middle class, poor people suffer. Democratic president, we get it took Bill Clinton 8 years to clean up Bush and Reagan's dirty, filthy economic mess, but we did it. And by the time he left office, there was a surplus. Remember the surplus? Sure you do. And the surplus was gone in 3 months of George Bush and his troglodytic economic policies. Oh, my head hurts. Stingy pay raises may mean many Americans will have to work longer hours to keep up with the cost of living, and they could ultimately undermine consumer spending and economic growth. Work harder, middle class and lower class America. Work harder. Because the bosses aren't going to, and they need a new $10,000 umbrella stand or a $12,000 shower curtain or a solid gold plate to serve their lark's vomit canapes on. Hey, Bob Kincaid, you're promoting class war. Damn straight. Actually, I'm promoting defense in the class war. If there's a class war, the first shots over Fort Sumter were fired not by my side. No siree. They were fired by the CEOs who make 300 and 400 times as much as the average worker does. So, inflation rose by 3.1% in the year to March. Salaries only climbed 2.4%. 1991, real wages declined by 1.1%. Well, here's another thing for Bush to be worried that he's not as good as his daddy at. Oh, brother, every time he starts fretting about that, something else god-awful happens. Does it get tiresome to you? It gets tiresome to me. This is heartbreaking. Even after last month's bumper gain in employment, 274,000 jobs created in April. 274,000 jobs at McDonald's. Even after last month's bumper gain in employment, there are 22,000 fewer private sector jobs than when the recession began in March 2001. 0.02% fall. At the same point in the recovery from the recession of the early 90s, you know, the Bush recession, private sector employment was up 4.7%. But Bill Clinton, he had a girlfriend. Never mind. Ouch. Just ouch. There is still little evidence that workers are gaining much traction in their negotiations. If this does not pick up, it raises the prospect of a sharper slowdown in consumer spending than we have been expecting. Oh, really? Paul Ashworth, U.S. analyst at Capital Economics. Really? Well, Paul, buddy, we tried to tell people that before November 2004, but they were all worried about gays getting married and big rocks with 10 pieces of advice for barely literate Stone Age societies on them. Vote your wallet, we said. Vote your household economy, we said. What did we get? If you vote for that god-awful John Kerry, them queers will be getting married all over the place, and the next thing you know, your marriage will break up, and you'll run off, and you'll catch a bad dose of the queer, too. Jesus. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The town of Oak Hill plans to turn the former Pure Oil service station, where a chauffeur discovered the death of country music Hank Williams Sr., into a museum. Oak Hill Mayor Barbara Hickman says the lease will be held by the town until it can be turned over to a new foundation. She's encouraging donations of memorabilia and hopes that state funds will be allotted to preserve the Pure Oil station. The top brass at the West Virginia Republican Party have accepted the resignation of embattled Chairman Chris Warner. Warner told the party's executive committee members in a letter Monday he wanted to step down. The resignation ends several months of turmoil within the state GOP, which boiled to the surface after the election in November. State police think a drug deal gone bad led to a fatal shooting last night in Eccles. Trooper J.L. Howell says they were called to a residence on Jenny Lynn Street around 5:30 yesterday afternoon. They found a man in his early 20s from Columbus, Ohio, had been shot to death, and another Columbus native, Mel Heller, shot in the shoulder. Heller was taken to Raleigh General for treatment. The body of the other man, whose name was not released, has been sent to the state medical lab in South Charleston. And a Beckley man is recovering after being shot during an attempted robbery in Charleston. Kenneth Howell had just emptied the lottery machines of the Sports Central Bar and Grill on Central Avenue when police say Ronald Ray Jones of Cincinnati shot him as he was putting money in the truck and getting ready to leave. Witnesses say after Howell was shot, he managed to grab Jones, wrestle him to the ground, and knock the gun away. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening, partly cloudy and warm. Temperatures now around 70. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 57. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, most of these in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high again near 80. Tomorrow night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 60. And then for Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 76. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center.
make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, or the Glenfellas Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Food Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WOY2B in Oakland and Quick Foods in Bethany.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's Memory Master, Matthew Gerke, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. Let's see. Let's start the last 25 minutes of the show with a phone call. Trish is with us. Hey, Trish, you're head on. Trish.
Yes.
There you are.
Yes, yes. I was supposed to do the radio. I had turned it down. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
You sound like you're fit to be tied tonight.
No, I kind of am.
I happen to hear a Marine, and I don't know if you heard it or not. I think it was a few days ago. He was talking about all of the different corporations that came into Iraq to do different jobs and so on and so forth, and they were charging 20 times more than what needed to be paid for a job to be done.
Right.
And he said that he found an Iraqi who had some in with him, and that I think Saddam wanted this particular Iraqi, when they were having that Iran-Iraq war,
mm-hmm.
wanted them to put the chemical weapons onto the Iraqi, onto the Iranians, and he refused, and they took sledgehammers and beat his ankles in.
Wow.
But anyway, he was telling about that, and he said that he asked Ken, you know, to, and he was part of Saddam's military at that time. But anyway, he got him and asked him if him and some of his men would like to fix a water pipeline, and if they would pay them the same wages that an American citizen would make in this country to fix a water pipeline. And they agreed to it. And he said, and within, before the day was over with him, those men had that fixed. If they hadn't went through a contractor, you know, an American contractor or another contractor from out of the country,
mm-hmm.
it would have charged us 20 times more to have that same work done. And he said they did an excellent job, and they were using them to do other work.
Well, Trisha tells us a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That so much, you know.
I don't know why we are not hiring Iraqis to do the work.
Well,
they can have money to buy the food and the clothing they need for their family.
But you know the answer to that. I mean, we were given 6 dozen reasons for going in there and doing what we've done. The one reason we were not given is probably the closest to the truth. And that is that war and blood and death are really, really good money-making opportunities if you're in the right place at the right time. And with this administration that we have in the White House, Trish, it's the right place, and it's the right time. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Kellogg, I call them Kellogg Brown and Root, Kellogg Brown and Root, the subsidiary of Halliburton,
uh-huh.
the Army just gave them a $72 million bonus.
I just heard that. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and you talk about fit to be tied. It's that kind of stuff that just makes me just want to just turn the mic up really loud and let you guys hear me running around the room screaming.
Well, do you know that I had heard somebody say that an American had come home and they went to congratulate them for being able to come home, and this individual had that off his limbs and part of his face. And he said, you know, I had to turn around and walk away because he wasn't crying because of his own self. He was crying because of his brother that had gotten killed, and that they had been served rotten food and spoiled vegetables, one bottle of water, one meal a day.
Yeah, and do you
this
know?
This is our military. This is what's going on.
I know, and
military.
do you know what we're?
And our military, if they say anything, they will be stripped of their Well, it'll come down hard on them if they say
right.
anything.
And yet, do you know what we pay Kellogg Brown and Root to serve what you just described to our troops? Do you know what we?
Full food, rotten vegetables.
$29 a day per soldier, Trish.
Well, you know, the Marine, I guess, that was showed in the newspaper, you know, that was smoking, that just went through to Korea at that time. Do you know that they ran out of ammo and we lost 600 military men in there because they ran out of ammo? And you know, I'm a conservative, but I am so angry that I've hollered for the impeachment of this president.
It's not out of ammo. That's why I keep saying,
and the president was asked, why? Where is the ammo? Well, we got to have a trade deal with one of those Chinese countries over there to make the ammo. And I thought, why do you send men into battle knowing they don't have any ammo?
Because it wasn't about the battle. It was about the money. And it's
anyway,
it makes you want to scream, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Screaming's okay. Sometimes it's a logical response to an illogical circumstance.
Well, I just kind of get a little upset when I hear some of this stuff. I know that you don't like Michael Savage, but I want to tell you he has been blacklisted by this White House.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I mean,
he has been all over this president, up one side and down the other. And Bill Bennett, you know, you probably don't like him either, but I heard Dr. Bill talk about, you know, that he does talk a little rational. He wasn't invited to the White House.
Well, see, what you got to, with right-wing talk radio, Trish, what you've got to understand is that, with the exception of Rush, a lot of these guys are casting around. See, they got what they wanted. They've got their Republican House, they've got their Republican Senate, they've got their Republican presidency, they've got a pretty nearly Republican majority on the Supreme Court, and they're all out of stuff to complain about.
Well,
they've gotten what they've wanted, and nothing that they believed, if they truly believed it, is coming true. So now we get to watch them eat their own, and that's some of what's. I mean, I've heard Savage gooning on Bush, but he never steps back and repents of the support he gave him.
Well, he said that he thought he was different than what he really was, and I think that is what. I tell you what, John Kerry didn't win. And I'm going to tell you for a fact. And
okay.
I've heard this from Democrats. I've heard this from conservative Democrats, liberal Democrats. When he said, I want to give all these illegal alien citizenship, that did it. They did not go and vote.
Well, I think I disagree
that is
with
a fact.
I disagree with you a little bit on that because there was way too much gay baiting, and there was way too much religion baiting. And the moral values voters will tell you that that's what turned the tide for them. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we had a Roman Catholic running for president, and he lost the Roman Catholic vote because this guy who's now Pope said a letter over here saying that voting for John Kerry was a mortal sin.
Well, I was offended when our flag was lowered.
I was, too.
I mean, 53 million Protestants lost their lives, and I was very offended when Bush lowered our flag.
And the thing is, that's not anti-Catholic sentiment. I'm not that
no, it's
way.
Not. It's not.
But
you know.
I am proud to have a country that does not endorse any religion, be it Buddhism,
yeah.
Catholicism, Protestantism, any ism. I'm glad to live in a country that thinks that we govern best when we leave religion to the religion people and government to the rest of the people.
I've never noticed us to ever lower our flag for any religion.
No, we hadn't. And that's what we did, and it was just offensive. It was offensive across the board.
Yep.
And it was a signal. It was a signal of acquiescence and yuck, you know, just yuck. Trish, it's always good to hear from you, dear. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Okay. I just don't know where I am anymore, you know. And I think that we really need to export a both our Democrats and our Republicans out of Congress. I think that they have been there so long they forgot about we are the employers, they are the employees.
Well, we know who's running Congress now, so that means that their time is up. The majority there has proven that they're incapable of governing. So one and what we can do around here for those people within the sound of my voice that are able to vote in
and maybe we ought to take up a nickel collection from every American and send President Veto Pen on some of this pork spending.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't
he lost the veto pen, and he's the only president in the history of this country that has never vetoed pork spending.
But that's
and he has got a Republican that stands up from Hawaii or Alaska, maybe it's Alaska, and says, oh, the president will never veto a bill. He says he will, but he won't. In other words, he called his own president a liar, and he was right. He did not veto the bill.
You're absolutely right. Trish, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And Mel. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
I think Trish said it well. Sometimes I'm fit to be tied.
Well, I kind of like hearing a conservative say they'd like to impeach Bush.
Yeah.
Maybe it's finally a little bit late, but it always helps a little bit to hear people start to wake up. But
yeah.
I heard our, I'm just going to skip around here a little bit.
That's
what
I've been doing tonight. You're more than welcome.
Well, I was going to ask you that, I heard you talking last night about that Republican and his first girlfriend was a mule.
Yeah.
I kind of felt sorry for him. You know, you had to walk all the way around her to kiss her.
Oh, man. I didn't think there was anything left of that story, and you found something.
Well, I always like to start out laughing, keep
absolutely
crying. But I heard a preacher resigned. Seen that on CNN today. He resigned.
Yes, he did.
Jeff Chandler.
Chan Chandler, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And as it turns out, there had been a question posed, Mel, as to how long he'd been at that church. 3 years.
Yeah.
Came in just in time to poison that flock.
Well, that's what the one lady said on CNN. She said about, you know, about 2 years he had destroyed it, and she'd been there 44, and it took him two to, you know, to break it up, start breaking it up. But I told my wife the sad thing about it. He's done what the Bible says, you know, they'll come in with fair words and good speeches and separate the flocks. Now, when them people go back, they'll have people that don't like it. They brought an attorney in, you know, because some people don't believe you're supposed to sue, and they'll separate the flock anyway. Those people will either have to leave or a lot of people will leave with the preacher. You know, that's where it happens.
And that's not the only sad thing, Mel. You're absolutely right in that regard. That I think that church is probably done. But the other side of that coin is that guy left, and there is some Southern Baptist church out there that is up to its neck in right-wing religious freaks that can't wait to hire him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's definitely a market for those kind of preachers right now. And like I said, you know, it used to be they had to go to an independent church because these Baptists and Methodists and all that, you know, they'd control them. But right now, after Bush set up 16 offices in the Baptist church and they're backing him, the fundamental Baptist especially, you know, now, like you said, there's a big market. They're looking for these guys. And it's not just that. Assemblies of God and all of them. You know, they're looking for these conservatives that come out of these, like you said, Jerry Falwell schools and, you know, they want to dictate mainly, you know, how to vote and this conservative boil that's going on in these churches. And but I felt better today. I was mad. Like I said, I wasn't to be fooled with yesterday. You know, and it's a shame to let it do you like that, but it helped me out to see that that piece of trash, and that's what he is.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that he first denied it and they misunderstood him. But like I said, they had it taped. And he said, when he said it, he said, if you don't back Bush, you need to get out here and don't let the door hit you. He said, and I might get in trouble for saying that. And they had him recorded. They played it on CNN and showed it, you know, verbally as they played it. So, I would have liked to have seen him stayed and the church lost its tax-exempt status, like I said, to set a precedence and let these churches know, you know, that you're going, you know, they don't care how many people they run off and they don't care what they do to religion and they don't care what Jesus' word says. All they care is about their almighty power and the dollar. So, you know, when you start taking that dollar away from them, that's what they understand. And I would personally kind of like to see the guy stayed and they lost their exemption, but I was glad to see that he left. I was going to skip around, too, to, you know, I heard on Dr. Bill's show they were talking about France and how people gave France down the road. You know, and they're not my favorite country. You know, we've asked them to fly over in other wars, and they've told us no. And but you know what? It'd be like me, Bob. You know, 10 years ago, you and I was walking down the street, and I knocked you out in front of a taxi and kept you from getting killed. So, you know, 7 years later, I come up to you, and, hey, Bob, remember I saved your life? I want you to go help me rob a bank.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly what it is,
you know,
well said.
You know, you owe them some, but my Lord, you don't owe them going into something you know that's totally wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember when they wouldn't let us fly over. That was when Ronald Reagan was sending planes to bomb tents in the Libyan desert, and he wound up killing Muammar Gaddafi's little baby daughter.
Right.
And at the time, I remember thinking, you know, I can halfway understand them doing that because we're half a world away from Libya, and Libya was a sponsor of terrorism, no doubt about it. We're half a world away from Libya. France is just across the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah, I was going to say, they could have been a quicker payday for them.
Sure.
And, you know, old Blair over there in England, from what I read, is he made it back in, but he lost a lot of his power, and he says due to this Iraq war, so he was going to have to take that into consideration. I don't know what that meant, but I think I do, or I hope I do.
Well, all the rumors that I'm hearing as a result of that election, and I was hearing it even before the election, was that he will not serve his full term. That he will turn power over to, the name escapes me, Gordon something.
Well, somebody told me that what they understood, that he said that he would probably resign before his full term was out, and I didn't understand that.
There's a lot of people in the UK, Mel, that want him to do that stepping down thing yesterday.
Yeah.
They're tired of Tony Blair sullying the good name of the Labour Party. You know, that's I don't know that you can draw a direct parallel, but the Labour Party over there is pretty close kin to what we consider ourselves as Democrats over here.
Well, that's what I would have thought.
And they've Tony Blair has turned that completely on its ear, and it's driving some members of the Labour Party absolutely crazy. Now they've got Liberal Democrats over there as well, with whom I feel greater kinship, and they increased in their seats as well.
Yeah, that's what I read. But, you know, it's funny. You know, it's my understanding Blair got along real good with Clinton and act like a Democrat. But when Bush got in, I don't know why that is so tight. You know, he didn't even hold his hand like he did the other day as that leader.
We just can't get over that, can we?
No.
I don't plan to either.
Kind of trying to. But, you know, Bush, during Reagan's administration, you know, I was working over at Oak Hill, and this pension thing, you know, when he deregulated the airlines and all this stuff started happening, and it's just like, you know, the thing's happening again, just like it did. I lost my pension. That Pension Guarantee Corporation's the biggest joke.
No, yeah, that's they're not guaranteeing much of anything.
If you don't have, you know, first of all, you got to have, 10 years in, or you don't get nothing. And if you got 10 years in, you know, there was people over there that worked there, had worked there most of their life and gave most of their life to it, that got nothing. I'm talking $2,000-$3,000. So if I learned right then, if you're, that was my first, teaching there of, if you're basing your, dependency on the government to back you up and to protect you, you're getting ready to get the shaft. And, but old Bush, you know, he's making Reagan look like Mother Teresa.
Oh, he is. And the thing is, he's so blind and so ignorant. I mean, you know, a pig ignorant, really.
Well, you know what?
He thinks he's working people's friend.
You know what? Know what's worse than that? some of the working people still thinks he's their friend. And my Lord, you know, when they talking about you talking about Halliburton getting a bonus and how many millions is over there, billions is over there lost. They don't even, how many times has Halliburton tried to steal, you know, and they caught him and made him pay it back, and now there's all this money missing, and now they give him a bonus.
All the more reason that I pray, Mel. I pray. Yeah, I know. I just pray that America, and the sad thing is it's going to be really hard to do because it has to be done on a district-by-district basis. We have got to get rid of enough Republicans in the House of Representatives because you got to remember the House controls the purse strings. We got to get rid of enough Republicans to get a Democratic majority in there. Then we can also start the impeachment proceedings.
Well, you know, when Trish said that, you know, she's starting to talk pretty good there, and then she said we need to get the Democrats and Republicans out. We're not going to do that. You know, Michelle and some of them talked before the election that she wasn't for either one of them. She's going to vote for Nader. You know, she threw her vote away.
Yeah.
And that's the same way. You know, we're not going to do away with the two-party system. It's just not going to happen. So you better look and see which party is, you know, even though you don't like everything, my Lord, you better see, I heard somewhere that it would take us two generations to make up for what we've lost right at this minute. And if people can't see, you know, I heard today that the courts ruled that Cheney didn't have to disclose his meeting with the Enron and them, you know,
yeah.
My Lord, you know, like I said.
Well, I mean, that's what you get when you go duck hunting in Louisiana with...
Oh, yeah, with the chief, one of the...
Yeah, with Fat Tony Scalia.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And again, you're absolutely right, Mel. The Republican Party cannot be saved. They've sold their soul. They're married up with these bigoted religion industry organizations. They're married up with corporate America. There is, however, a chance to salvage the Democratic Party.
But you know something, Bob, there's no doubt in my mind, and this is what scares me. A year ago, if you remember, before the election, I guarantee you, Rove and some of these strategists planned these gays starting to get married, and I'll guarantee you they had some Republican mayors in these cities like San Francisco and stuff to start that stuff, to make it an issue. How many gays have you heard about getting married since the election?
Not much, if any.
Well, you know what?
Our friend David down in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
They're not done with that issue yet, Mel, because he tells me that there's going to be a gay marriage initiative on the ballot in South Carolina for the 06 cycle.
Well, I'm sure, you know, that's the way they got a lot of turnout in Ohio and a lot of other states. I'm telling you, they created that.
Yeah, it was manufactured.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I said, that's what worries me when they're sitting there. Like I said, they're probably at the grade schools giving out suckers in the shape of an elephant. I tell you, the guys are slick. And if the Democrats don't get slicker and don't outthink them and think ahead, you know, he's going to amend the Constitution to get it stopped and put it on the ballot to get everybody to go and vote for, you know, against it and for him. And like I said, I don't know if we'll ever get rid of him.
I share your concerns. And some of that's not so much with the Republican Party, to be quite honest, Mel. Some of that has to do with us. And what it has to do with us is the fact that we seem to have this same old tired rotating cadre of so-called campaign experts that you see campaign after campaign after campaign, and all they know how to do is lose. And most of them come out of what is called the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. Emails all the time, every day.
And that bunch is, you know, these are people who are convinced that the only way that our party will ever have the White House or Congress again is if we act a little bit more like Republicans.
Well, you know what?
I can't sign on with that.
I read an article on that, and they said that the people that was kind of in the middle, either way they voted this last election, when you start going right, that made them think, huh, maybe, you know, that the Republicans are right. Now the Democrats are going that way, so I don't think that's the answer.
Yeah, it's another case of surrendering the field. It's what I was talking about early in the program.
Well,
give it up before the first shot's fired.
Well, we need to play their game. Like I said, you know, they We need to start using these short phrases like they do, partial birth abortion, you know, and this nuclear option, and they got all these words, and we need to backfire that back to them. But I'm just hoping and praying that the people wake up and see what's happened to them. And until it happens to them, until you fool with somebody's own purse strings, you know, most people figures, they did a survey the other day and asked people if they would take a cut in Social Security, you know, to save it, and a bunch of them said no. You know, people are, I'm telling you, maybe this is, I heard one old guy saying that it sounded like Timothy in the Bible toward the end of time, and sometimes, you know, I know they've said that forever, but I'm starting to wonder at, I've talked to old people in their 80s, and they said it's the worst they've ever seen it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that kind of scared me. I'm in my 50s, and it's the worst I've ever seen it. But people that's paid attention and been politically active their whole life, and I'm talking about both parties, says that it's really the worst they've seen it. You know, we're in this screwed up world. And I'll tell you about Iraq, and you mark my word that Melvin Kessler told you this, whatever, the date of May, that the people in Iraq is the ones going to end up empty-handed. Eventually, we're going to pull out of there, sure. And then people are going to be ate alive. They already are, but they're going to be the big losers. They're going to pray old Saddam was back.
They already are, Mel.
Well,
thanks so much, though. We got to roll out of here.
Okay, it's good talking to you,
Bob. Good talking to you, Mel. Take care. Bye now. All right, the show tonight, of course, produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer. Engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation.